The scripture reading for the sermon tonight is from 2 Samuel 7. Beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went King David in, and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things, to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do before you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. And with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. The title of the sermon is Faith's Plea Upon God's Word by the Reverend Ralph Erskine. And the text from the last part of 2 Samuel 7:25, Do as thou hast said. David was a strong believer, and he believed the divine word, Thou hast said. And he pleaded the accomplishment of that word, Do as thou hast said. Faith works by believing His word. Thou hast said. Faith rests upon a Thus saith the Lord, and not upon Thus saith man, or Thus saith a minister, no, nor Thus saith an angel. If you have faith, then you have received the word, not as the word of man, but as it is indeed the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. Faith acts by taking God's word. Thou hast said, thou hast promised, thou hast spoken in thy holiness. Faith acts by pleading the accomplishment of the promise. Do as thou hast said. God is not a speaker only, but a doer. He is not a promiser only, but a performer. And faith looks to a promising God, waiting for Him to be a performing God, and so puts Him to His word. So there are 5 points for the sermon tonight. First, it is the business of faith to take God at His word. Second, it is the business of faith to put Him at His word. So I hope you see the connection between those opening comments and those first 2 points. That the first believes the word. The second is waiting in faith for God to perform His word. And then thirdly, how faith takes God's word. Fourth, how it pleads the accomplishment of the promise. Fifth, why faith takes
this and puts one who God wants, to His and word. So badly, and therefore he's got to be very tight with whatever he does have. But there is a man
I
who
hope
is
you're
the
able to listen
who looks to God, who trusts
carefully
him,
because
who
the first 5 points
and who has
are
the
very
joy
short
of being an instrument of giving to
so
somebody
if you
else. Of doing them good.
Wander in your thoughts, you'll miss the points easily. The first 5 points are very short, and then there's a longer application. So first, it is the business of faith to take God at His word. This is plain because the word is the immediate object of faith. We have no other way to see God in a saving way but His word, especially His word of grace and promise. Say not, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Romans 8:10. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith relates to the faithfulness of the speaker. Believing relates to a word to be believed. It is evident from the whole of Scripture that the business of faith is to trust God in His word. How many times in Psalm 119 does the psalmist speak of trusting in His word and hoping in His word and rejoicing in His word and so taking Him at His word? The second point is, it is the business of faith to put God to His word or to plead the accomplishment of His word. That is, that He would do as He has said. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Psalm 119:49. And how many times does he plead with God to do to him according to his word? Quicken me according to thy word is found repeated again and again in Psalm 119, verses 25, 107, and 154, for example. Strengthen me according to thy word, from verse 28. Save me according to thy word, from verse 41. Be merciful to me according to thy word, verse 58. Deal with thy servant according to thy word, verse 56. Let thy merciful kindness be my comfort according to thy word, verse 76. Uphold me according to thy word, verse 116. Give me understanding according to thy word, verse 169. Deliver me according to thy word, verse 170. All this comes to do as thou hast said. Our third point is how faith takes the word of God. Faith takes it by intelligently grasping or laying hold of it in the mind or understanding. The man is taught of God and gets his eyes opened and sees it to be the word of God and a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation and a word especially spoken in season to his weary soul. They will never take the word by faith if they do not understand it. Philip said to the eunuch, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" So we may say, "Do you understand what you hear? Are your eyes open to see the wonders of his law or doctrine, or to see the glory of Christ held out to you in his word?" Faith takes the word of God by a particular application of it with the heart. A hearty assent is given to the word. As we read, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Saving light goes into the heart. Man may have only their heads enlightened and their judgments informed, but have not their hearts engaged or their affections captivated. Faith is a hearty applying of the word, particularly to to man's own benefit. Whether we call it assurance or not, it comes to the same thing. When the threatening is applied to a man in conviction, he trembles under the fear of hell and wrath because he applies the threatening to himself, saying, I am the man to whom this threatening is spoken. So, in the day of conversion or believing, when the promise is applied, the man is relieved with a view of the grace and mercy of God in Christ because he applies the gospel promise to himself, saying, I am the man to whom this promise is spoken, and I receive and rest upon Christ for salvation, as He is promised and offered to me in the gospel. As we read, to me is this word of salvation. And if the man did not take it to himself, there would be no purpose of believing at all. Our fourth point is to show how faith pleads the accomplishment of the promise. Faith pleads upon the everlasting mercy, the unchangeable mercy that is made the promise. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. Faith pleads upon the truth that made the promise, that His name is faithful and true. It pleads upon the power of the promiser, being fully persuaded that He that hath promised is able to perform, that He has not said what He cannot do. Faith also pleads upon the blood of the covenant that seals all the promises thereof, that they are all, yea and amen, in Christ Jesus. It pleads upon the love of God to Christ. This is to pray in His name, that God, for the love He bears to Christ, would do as He hath said. Faith pleads upon the unchangeableness of God and of His Word, that His Word endures forever, and that He is God and changes not, and therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Faith pleads upon His oath. God, willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, hath confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Hebrews 6:10. And lastly, faith pleads upon His name. What will thou not do for thy great name's sake? Why does faith take God at His word and put Him to His word? Why? Because it is the purpose and design in God of giving His word. These things are written that we may believe in the Son of God, and that believing we might have life in His name. From John 20:31. The gospel is preached in vain if men do not take God at His word and then hang upon it. Faith takes God at His word because God is glorified the more we rest upon His divine word. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, we read. We give him the honor of His truth in this way. Faith proves God's honor when it puts God to His word. He cannot deny Himself. Faith has no other way of living but upon the word of God. Man liveth not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thy word was found of me, and I did eat it. This is my comfort in my affliction, Thy word hath quickened me. And now for our sixth point, the application. Consider what God hath said, and take him at his word. Do as thou hast said, and put him to it, that he would do to you accordingly. Whatever is your case, surely there is some word that suits your case. Now, children, when we go to the doctor's office, everybody usually sits out in one room, and then one by one you go in and see the doctor, and he tries to figure out what you have, and then he gives a remedy. Well, in this sermon, it's more like the doctor comes out into the room where everybody is, and he just tells everyone, if this is your sickness, here's the remedy. And he goes down the list of all the sicknesses and all the remedies. So I hope that you're able to listen for your particular situation or your condition. Whatever your case is, surely there is some word that suits your case. Some may be thinking, alas, God has said nothing to me that I may put him to his word. Why, man, if the gospel that is in this Bible be preached to you, and if there be any word of grace in it suitable to your case, then do not put away the word from you, but take it and plead upon it, that God would do as he has said. If you can see any word of promise suited to your case and to your need, then put out your hand by faith and lay hold upon his word. Oh, you say, is there any word from God about my case, who am a poor, needy creature, likely to starve for lack of spiritual meal and a hearty drink of the living waters that go out from Jerusalem? Has God said anything concerning me? Yes, he has said, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in dry places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry lands springs of water. From Isaiah 41, 17 and 18. Has he said so? Then take him at his word and put him to it, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. Oh, but is there any word of God for me, who have been long waiting and never yet seen his glory as I would desire to see it? What has he said concerning me? Why, he has said that he waits that he may be gracious, that he is a God of judgment, and blessed are all they that wait for him. He has said, the vision is for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and not tarry. From Habakkuk 2, verse 3. Has he said so? Then take him at his word and put him to it, saying, do as thou hast said. But is there any word from God concerning my case that find my conscience challenging me for huge guilt? There was never such a guilty person on the face of the earth. Are you groaning under guilt? Hear what he says. I will be merciful to your unrighteousness, and your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. From Hebrews 8:12. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. From Isaiah 43:25. Oh, then, take hold of his word, wherein he proclaims pardon, and put him to it, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. But, says another, is there any word from God concerning me that am compassed about with such strong corruptions and conquering lusts that sin gets the mastery of me? Would you be delivered? Hear what he says. He will subdue our iniquities and cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. From Micah 7:19. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14. The day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my Redeemer is come. Isaiah 63:4. Has he promised to take vengeance upon your lusts? Then take him at his word, saying, Oh, do as thou hast said. But is there any word for me that I am such a filthy monster, such a polluted creature in my heart and life, that I am stinking, as it were, in the grave of sin? He has said, From all your filthiness and from all your idols I will cleanse you. Ezekiel 36:25. There is a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. Is there a promise of cleansing? Then take him at his word and cry out, Lord, do as thou hast said. But is there any word to me, a backslider, a grievous revolter? My promises and resolutions have been but paper walls before the fire of temptation. Did you hear that comparison, children? All when we're being consumed by fire, well, what good is a wall made of paper if fire is getting us? And in this case, this person is seeing that their promises to do better, their resolutions to try harder, are so weak. Are you afflicted with this and that, and would you have relief? Behold, he says, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. From Jeremiah 3:22, I will heal your backslidings and love you freely. I will be as the dew to Israel. From Hosea 14:4. Has he said so? Then let your heart say, Lord, do as thou hast said. But what does God say to me that has no strength for any duty or difficulty, that I am weak like water? Would you have relief in this case? God says, My grace shall be sufficient for thee, and my strength shall be made perfect in thy weakness. From 2 Corinthians 12:9. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Isaiah 40:29. Does he say so? Then put him to his word, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. But is there any word concerning me that I am brought to a great difficulty and know not what to do or what hand to turn to? I do not know what course to take. Does God say anything to me? Yes, he does. I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in the path that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Isaiah 42:16. Thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. From Isaiah 30:21. I will guide thee by my counsels. Psalm 73:24. Does he say so? Then put him to his word, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. But what says God to a poor soul that is harassed with the temptations of the devil and ready to be destroyed by the fiery darts of the wicked one? God says that He will bruise the head of the serpent. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Romans 16:20. For this cause was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Has He begun to destroy him? And has He said, Thou shalt bruise him under thy feet? Then put him to his word, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. Alas, but what says God to a poor, destitute creature that has nothing, no good, no grace, no light, no life, no strength? He says, My God shall supply all your wants according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19. The needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. From Psalm 9:18. There is bread enough and to spare in your Father's house. Has He said so? Oh, then put Him to His word, saying, Lord, do as Thou hast said. But what says God to me that am longing, earnestly longing for some taste of His goodness, some communion and fellowship with Him? Why, God says to you that He will satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry with good things. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, verse 6. Has He said so? Then let your heart say, Lord, do as Thou hast said. Oh, but is there any word for one that has quite another case to tell you of, that has no longing desire, no hunger, no thirst, that has as much need, that has as much need as any longing soul here? But I have no spiritual longing, not so much as a desire, but like the parched earth, the dry ground, that can have no active thirst, but has many wide openings. God says, I will pour water on him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground, even my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. They shall grow up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. Isaiah 44, verses 3 and 4. Have you no thirst? Have you no other thirst but like that of the dry ground? And has He promised a flood? Then, oh, put Him to His word, saying, Lord, do as Thou hast said. Oh, but is there any word for me that am like the barren ground and unfruitful, that bears nothing but briars and thorns? And I find this ground is rejected, as nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Is this your fear and concern? Hear that word. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar, the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Isaiah 55:13. Am I like a green fir tree? From me is this fruit found? Hosea 14:8. Hath He said so? Then put Him to His word, saying, Lord, do as Thou hast said. Alas, but is there any word for me that have been a fool, a mocker, a scorner, that have laughed at all religion and godliness? Is there any merciful word that I may take hold of? Yes, God says, Ye scorners that delight in scorning, and fools that hate knowledge, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my word unto you. Proverbs 1:22-23. Does He say so? Then put Him to His word, saying, Lord, do as Thou hast said. But what says God to one that has a plagued heart, a hard heart, a base heart, full of all manner of evils and all the plagues of hell. Why, God says, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a new heart, and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. From Ezekiel 36:26. And whatever be the plague, he has said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Has he said so? Then, put him to his word, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. Ah, but does God say anything to a stupid wretch that not only hears you, but is no more affected than the bricks of the wall, and that is quite dead, and can no more stir than a rock, and has no more life than a dead corpse? God says, and that he would say it with power, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. Ezekiel 37:9-12. Has he said so? Then, put him to his word, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. But, is there any word that God says concerning me that has forfeited God's favor by heaping up great and insuperable mountains between him and me that I fear he will never come over? Why, says he, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Zechariah 4:7. He can make the mountains skip like rams and the little hills like lambs. Has he said so? Then, put him to his word and say, Lord, do as thou hast said. But is there any word for one that is filled with fear of heavy judgments coming upon the land and upon an apostate church? Yes, he says, a man shall be a hiding place from the storm and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:2. When you see matters running into confusion, church members betraying the privileges of the church, and the church destroying herself with her own hand, not only boars out of the forest wasting her and wild beasts of the field devouring her, but enemies in the bosom of the church making themselves great for lifting up axes and hammers to break down the carved work of her doctrine, discipline, and government, remember that the Lord has said that He will build up Zion. When He builds up Zion, He will appear in His glory. And again, upon all that glory there shall be a defense, that at evening time it shall be light, that the darkest part of the night may usher in the morning star of a reformation in spite of hell. For I would gladly incline to hope God will not leave Scotland, or as we would hope, the church in the United States, though we have left Him. Let us plead that word. He will arise and have mercy on Zion. Has He said so? Then, take Him at His word, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. But is there any word for a poor creature that is in bondage through the fear of death? If I have run with the footmen and they have wearied me, how then can I contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein I trusted, they wearied me, then what will I do in the swelling Jordan? I tremble to meet with the King of terrors. Why, he has said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. From Hosea 13:14. Death shall be swallowed up in victory. Isaiah 25:8. Plead then that he would do as he hath said. But I lack assurance of all these things, one may say. Well, what do you mean by that, man, woman, that you lack assurance? I suppose many do not understand themselves when they say they lack assurance. For what better assurance would you have than the Word of God? If you have His Word and take His Word, you need no better assurance. If a dependable man, whom you can rely upon, gives you his word for such a thing, why then you depend on it, and you are assured of it, for you have his word. There is an assurance of sense, that is, the assurance of the work. When you have got the thing that is promised, this is not properly assurance. It is enjoyment, but the assurance of faith is the assurance of a word. And though the assurance of sense be sweetest, yet the assurance of faith is the surest assurance. For what you get in hand from God, you may soon lose the benefit and comfort of. But what you have upon bond in the promise is still and always secure. If you take God's promise, you have the best assurance in the world. But if you say you lack faith, that you cannot take His word or trust His word, then this is plain dealing. I fear this indeed is the case of many. Then you lack assurance indeed, because you lack faith, and you cannot take His word, nor give Him so much credit. But is anyone saying, that is indeed my case, I cannot believe His word? Does God say nothing to me? Is there any word suited to my case? Yes, there are promises of faith as well as to faith. I will leave in the midst of them a poor and afflicted people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Zephaniah 3:12. In Him shall the Gentiles trust. Matthew 12:21. Has the author of faith so promised? Then, O take him at his word. Cry for faith, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. But, may one say, I would desire not only to have the word, but the accomplishment or fulfillment of the word. I would not only have the promises, but the performance. And there are some promises I have been looking for 10 or 20 years. I think that I got the faith of, but alas, the accomplishment is not yet come. There are some prayers and petitions I have long tabled upon the ground of promise. Why does God say to one that has never these promises accomplished, nor these prayers, what does God say to one that never has these promises accomplished, nor these prayers answered? Why, man, be thankful if you have got grace to believe the promise. For so much faith as you have to take God's word, so much assurance you have that the word will be made out, if you be waiting upon a promising God, give Him His time. And behold, the womb of the promise will shortly open and bring forth, for it will not travail beyond its time. Blessed is she that believed, For there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. Luke 1:45. And your fits and starts of unbelief, O believer, shall not hinder the performance of the promise you have once believed savingly. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. Will he deny his word? Will he deny his oath? No, no. He will have respect to his covenant because he has respect to himself. But what says God of that one that is afflicted and mourning for the desolations of Zion, and particularly for the sins and defects of the day we live in? I will tell you what he says. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalm 26:5. And though you have been mourning, you have had your mourning time for Zion, you shall also have your rejoicing times. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Isaiah 66:10. He says that he will set a mark upon the foreheads of them that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. Why then, look to him to do as he hath said. But, says another, I am one that has a family and children that the Lord has given me, and it is my concern not only that I may be blessed myself, but that my seed, my offspring, may be blessed. Is there any word for me in this case? Yes, what do you think of that word? I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Isaiah 44:3. What do you think of that covenant made with Abraham, which you are called to lay hold upon by following his faith? I will be thy God and the God of thy seed. From Genesis 17:7. You have not only the covenant of Abraham to look to, but the covenant to your posterity to look to. This is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words that I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. Isaiah 59:21. He has said that children are his heritage, and that his righteousness is unto children's children. The promise is to you and unto your children. Acts 2:39. Oh, take him at his word and cry, Lord, do as thou hast said. But what do you say to one that finds himself deserted of God, and that God answers neither by Urim nor Thummim? I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job 23:8-9. The comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. Lamentations 1:16. God says, for a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I draw thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. Isaiah 54:7-10. Has he said so? Then, take him at his word, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. But what does God say to the one that is tossed with one wave of affliction upon the back of another? Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. From Psalm 42:7. Why, God says, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Isaiah 54:11-14. Yea, he says, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm 91:15. Many such sweet words of grace he speaks. Oh, then, take his word and plead, Lord, do as thou hast said. But is there any word to one that is lost in the wilderness and knows not where he is? And he thinks it is impossible that ministers can find him out. I think I am lost in a thicket, and it is impossible to find out my case in your preaching. It is a matchless case, a nameless case. Why, that word in Isaiah 62:11-12 may concern you. Behold, thy salvation cometh, and thou shalt be called, sought out, and not forsaken. And Hosea 2:14, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and there will I speak comfortably to her. Or as the word is in the margin, speak to her heart. Oh, comfortable when God speaks not only to the ear, but to the heart. Well has he said it. Well has he said it. Oh, then take his word and plead. Do as thou hast said. But is there any word to one that has refused correction under providences and has his corruptions irritated by the cross and has his rebellion rather increased by rods instead of being reclaimed by word and rod? Is there any case like mine, or is there any word for me to lay hold upon? Yes, what do you think of that word? For the iniquity of his covetousness I was wroth, and smote him. I hid him, and was wroth. And he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. Isaiah 57:17-18. Well, what follows? I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, and to his mourners. O astonishing wonder of free grace, that it was not said, I have seen his ways and I will damn him, but I have seen his ways and will heal him. I have seen his ways and will save him. Has he said so? Then put in your petition, Lord, do as thou hast said. But is there any word to such as are under the power of unbelief and impenitence? Those that feel the gospel is preached only to believers and penitent people? Oh, God forbid. It was preached to sinners that are both unbelieving and impenitent in order to bring them to faith and repentance. What says God to such? He says what they ought to lay hold on and plead upon. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Psalm 110:3. Christ is exalted at the right hand of God to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Acts 5:31. Plead then that he may do as he has said. But is it possible that God is speaking to any that have been so notorious a sinner? Perhaps all the country knows that I have been immoral, a lewd and wicked sinner, a profane, graceless wretch. Oh, if any were charmed with the joyful sound of the gospel of grace today, he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 1:18. "Though you have sinned to the uttermost, I am able to save you to the uttermost. Is your name wonderful as a sinner?" In other words, do people marvel that you're in sinning so much that it's a wonder? "Is your name wonderful as a sinner? Behold, His name is wonderful as a Savior. Oh, has He said so? Well, go and plead His word, saying, 'Lord, do as Thou hast said.' But besides my wickedness, I am grossly ignorant. Does God say anything to a poor, brutish, ignorant creature like me? Would you be taught? There is a word you may take hold of. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught of God.'" John 6:45. "And who teaches like Him? Has He said so? Then take Him at His word, saying, 'Do as Thou hast said.' But is there any word from God for one that has crucified so many convictions as I have done? Yea, and virtually crucified the Son of God afresh by rejecting His calls and grieving His Spirit? Yes, we are called to preach the gospel to every creature and even to the crucifiers of Christ. Repentance and remission of sin must be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Why beginning at Jerusalem? "Among the crucifiers of Christ? Because they have most need of His blood to wash them. Christ came to save sinners, the chief of sinners. Has He said so? Then put in your case, 'Lord, do as Thou hast said.' But will you tell me, is there any word for one that cannot think that it is as our that it is as you are saying, that there is any merciful word in God's mouth or any merciful thought in God's heart toward me? It cannot enter into my thought. I cannot let it penetrate my heart or mind. Why, God says, 'My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.'" From Isaiah 55:8 and 9. "You are not to measure His thought by yours, no more than you can measure these wide heavens with your arm. But God knows His own thoughts. And what says He of them? 'I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29:11-13. Children, did you hear that? You know, I'm a carpenter and I use my tape measure at work every day. Well, how silly would it be for me to try to take my tape measure and measure the sky? It's impossible, isn't it? And so we're not to use our small minds to try to measure the thoughts of God. And so he says, when you shall search for me with all your heart, you shall seek me and find me. And as you may perceive, that's with our sinful, wicked hearts, pleading only upon His word and our need. "Has He said so? Then go and plead His word, saying, 'Lord, do as Thou hast said.'" In a word, do you want His presence? He has said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Are you afraid of hell and damnation? He has said, Deliver his soul from going down to the pit. I have found out a ransom. Oh, what encouragement is here to go and pray and plead, saying, Lord, do as thou hast said. Oh, friends, search the Scriptures and study the Word of God. Consult and consider what He has said. Let there be no dusty Bibles among you. Let not the dust of your Bibles witness against you. For your eternal salvation depends upon your believing what He has said. Therefore, study the faith of what He has said. The Spirit is promised, and the Scriptures are written to work this faith. Christ is exalted, and the throne of grace is erected to give this faith. And this faith comes by hearing what He has said, not by hearing what Plato has said or Seneca has said, which are famous philosophers of old days. What this or that man has said? No. But what God has said in His Word, in this Bible. This Bible is the book so begun and so confirmed to the end as never any other book was. The Old Testament is begun by all the miracles wrought by Moses. The New Testament is begun by all the miracles wrought by Christ. And as Moses' miracles were wrought before the Old Testament was written, so Christ's miracles were wrought before the New Testament was written. Never a book was so confirmed to the end as this, even by a cloud of witnesses, a cloud of miracles, and by a cloud of martyrs who sealed the truth contained in it with their blood. God in the New Testament exactly fulfills what He has said in the Old. Yes, the present state of all the world is visible, performing the Scripture prophecies. Are not the Jews at this day a scattered and despised people, as the Scriptures said they should be? Has not God done this? Are not the pagan parts of the earth the dark places and habitations of cruelty, as the Scriptures said they should be? Thus it is as He hath said, Do not the seven churches of Asia lie desolate, as they were threatened, unless they repented? Thus it is, as He has said, Is not Muhammad, the false prophet, and his followers, like the water of the great river Euphrates, to which they are compared in Scripture? And thus it is, as He has said, Does not the whole world lie in wickedness, as the Word of God shows? And so it is, as He hath said, Is not every saint as a brand plucked out of the burning, as the Scripture speaks? So it is, as He hath said, Are not the scoffers walking after their own lusts and ridiculing the promise of Christ's coming, as the Scripture speaks? And so it is, as He hath said, Are not the black marks of perilous times in the last days upon us, as the Scripture speaks? It is as He has said. Are not the foolish virgins as many, yes, and more than the wise, all slumbering and sleeping, and all according as He has said? Does not the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith? And accordingly, it is as He has said. Is not the gospel a savor of life unto some, and a savor of death unto others? Is not Christ precious to some, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to others, as the Scripture speaketh? And so it is as He has said. Look about you, and see if anything that happens is not an accomplishment of the Word. And oh, how should you value this Word? Not a jot or tittle of it shall fail. Walk in this garden of the Scripture. Pluck up the flowers of the gospel promises and put them in your bosom. Live by faith upon the promise and be persuaded, whatever stands in the way, that He will do as He hath said. He will do so for what He hath said, He hath written, and what He hath sealed, what He hath sworn, what He hath said, He will never unsay. Therefore, take hold of this word of grace, and hold Him at His word in life and death, saying, Lord, do as Thou hast said. Before we close, just a word. We have been instructed to accept judgment. Isn't that not saying, Lord, I deserve death and hell, and so, as Thy word has said, the wages of sin is death, so I deserve it, and plead and ask for grace to believe upon Christ and His cross, that there would be our death, that He would take our hell, and that we would receive His life only by His substitution. That's where all these words are pointing to, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would be our word, our living word for a dead sinner. May God grant it for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, Thou hast been good to us this day. Though we deserve nothing, though we deserve to be cast out, yet Thou hast spoken, and we have been privileged to hear. We have also been privileged to read Thy Word, to think about Thy Word, to bring Thy Word to Grand View and to River Valley and to the jail and to our families. O Lord, how Thou hast abundantly blessed with Thy Word. And now we pray, don't leave us to ourselves to be condemned by it. Give us that we would plead upon Thy Word, looking to Christ, that for His sake Thou would do as Thou hast said, that Thou would glorify Thy name in saving us. Lord, take away and cut off all other foundations of prayer and pleading, that we would see all else is condemning us and all else is not obeying Thee. For Thou hast given this Thy word as a pleading ground. Help especially the children to use Thy word to pray upon it, to ask that for Christ's sake we may receive. And Thou will do it for His sake. In His name we pray. Amen.